Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Ray, and today is an episode of Casually Filthy. Today, we are very much leaning towards the casual side of things. My idea of what this show is going to be has evolved over time, because I'm coming to find that I'm not super comfortable talking to people. It's amazing, considering I talk to all of you all the time. But I have had a couple people talk about interviews right now. I still don't have a car, so I can't exactly drive over to their place and bring my gear with me and record an interview. So that's definitely a hindrance. But also just wrapping my head around the idea that I could interview people, which I don't know why it's so different to do that for a podcast when I can interview people. Like, I could put a suit on and have a mic in my hand and interview people for a wrestling organization. That I could do in my sleep. That I'm just like, okay, I dig this. I love this. But just like the idea of sitting in a room with someone who I may not even know, and for like, I don't know, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, and just talking to them, that scares me. It's almost as if I'm giving a job interview. Like, I kid you not, I had to hype myself up for my last job interview so much, and it was a digital job interview. I didn't even have to leave my room. But if anything, that made me more stressed, because I was like, because I have the cats in my room all the time. So I'm like, oh God, what's going to happen? What are the cats going to do? That is an uncontrolled, very controllable variant. It's just going to go insane. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I digress. So today it's going to be just me. I did try to get Cicely down for a Casually Filthy chat, but we are reaching the end of the spring semester. So she is solely focused on keeping her grades up and completing her first year of college. So big props to her. I obviously, what am I going to do? Be like, screw an education. No, get your education. And I'm glad that that's what she's doing. She doesn't need me or anyone else to tell her what to do. She's doing absolutely fantastic. So today we're going to be doing a life check-in. I'm going to be talking a little bit about current events, and I pulled some questions from online they're very generic questions, but I pulled some questions from online to answer for the closing segment. All right, so with that, we're gonna jump right into the life check-in. What am I doing currently? Let's see. Other than the podcast, I've of course got the day job, and it's, as you know, I'm not working retail right now. I'm currently in the optical field. I'm an administrative assistant right now, and my favorite part is telling people, yeah, I'm an optical administrative assistant, is people just looking at me like, oh, that's awesome. That sounds great. What is that? Like they genuinely have no idea, because it's like, okay, optical makes you think that I'm doing something with someone's eyes. And it's like, well, no, I'm not doing that. And they're like, okay, well, administrative makes us think that like you're like part of the corporate side, maybe you're in charge of someone. And I'm like, nope, that's not it either. And they're like, well, you're an assistant, so you must be helping people. And I'm like, I'd like to think I am. I would genuinely like to think I'm actually being of use to someone in the workplace. And they're like, so what do you do? And I like, honestly, every part of the fun of the job is every day I don't want to say something goes wrong, something goes awry, nothing ever goes exactly to plan, which, let's face it, as much as I love saying, yeah, I like to plan ahead, I love having a plan together, I love knowing what I'm going to do, if every day went exactly as you thought it would, there would be no excitement. So that is something that's both very stressful but very fun about the job. So it's like, I could walk in thinking that I know exactly what I'm gonna do, that I'm just gonna go in there, gonna buzz right through this. But I work directly with the opticians, and they work with patients. And of course, anything can happen when you're interacting with other people outside the office. Like I mentioned with the cats, it's an uncontrollable variable. So it, like, if something happens, even if it's just a question that the optician can't answer right away because they're still out there with the patient, I'm in the office and I'm like, okay, well, now I gotta see what I can do. How can I help them answer this question? Who can I call? Like, what rabbit can I pull out of this hat here? So that's the fun part. It keeps me on my toes. If I'm ever too entrenched in my own work, I always have to remember, okay, well, I gotta listen and be ready because I may be needed elsewhere. Other than that, the day job, I do keep my side hustles going. I recently did my first card lottery. Didn't get as many people to tune into that as I wanted, but I did. I got a couple people in there, so I managed to do pulls for all of them. It's specifically Pokemon cards. I'm not into, like, Magic the Gathering or baseball cards or anything like that. I'm into Pokemon cards, and, like, with most trading cards, the cards are, like, I don't want to say they're graded because I didn't send them out to get graded or anything like that. I just said, hey, they'll have different things. Like with Pokemon right now, it's like, oh, this is a V card. This is a V max. This is a full art. This is gold. This is rainbow. This is an alternate art. And more often than not, the alternate arts are like the big thing, like that, because usually they bring in these like amazing artists who do amazing work on these cards. And then it's like, okay, well, now this card's going to be worth a lot of money. Like, the set that I'm working on right now is called the Brilliant Stars. That's what it's called. And the most expensive card out of the whole set is, of course, a Charizard, because that's, if you're not a Pokemon fan, basically Charizard is probably the only creature that could compete with Pikachu for most popular. Like, I definitely feel like most of the hardcore fans would say that Charizard is the more popular one, but if you look at the casuals, they'll probably say Pikachu. So that's why I say that they can compete with each other for the top spot. But Charizard they got an alternate art of Charizard battling a Venusaur, and that shit's worth ungraded, like, near mint. That shit's worth almost $200 for one card. And it's just crazy to think that somewhere out there is a lucky bastard who only paid like $7 or $8 for one pack, and he got that card that's worth around $200. Like, that shit's crazy to me. So I do love getting into that. I love collecting. And at first I was like, yeah, I'm gonna start selling these cards online. And I did dip my toes in that. I tried opening my own website, did not get nearly enough traffic. I tried going on eBay, and I have no idea what I did. eBay literally shut me down before I could sell anything. I have no idea how. Like, I just got a notice in the middle of trying to post my first, like, card for sale. I got a notice, and it was like, yeah, you're, like, permanently suspended from doing anything on eBay. And I reached out for support, and I was on the phone, and I forget if I was on the phone or if it was a chat. Like, I feel like I was typing, but I feel like I also could hear the person. And I was just like, yeah, so I have no idea what I did. Can you, like, at least tell me what I did wrong? And the person's like, yeah, I'm going to look into this. He leaves me on hold for like 5 minutes and then comes back and is like, yeah, so basically you're permanently suspended. Like, you have no room to, like, request a review of this, and which means this guy's telling me that they won't even look into it. They won't even look into the possibility of me getting my eBay account unsuspended. And he's like, and I cannot tell you what you did wrong because then it could affect future cases. In other words, he thinks that, like, if he's they're telling him that if he tells me what I did wrong, that I could go to someone else and be like, hey, don't do this. And that's somehow a bad thing. Because I was just like, dude, how is it a bad thing to know what I did wrong? So I don't, like, you're telling me that if I, by knowing what I did wrong, I won't do it again, and that's a bad thing. How? Because I'm literally not doing anything wrong. I didn't even sell anything yet. Like, and he's just like, yeah, sorry, dude, there's nothing I can do for you. Anything else I can do? Any other questions you have? And I'm like, not really. I don't have an account anymore, so. And he's like, okay, and just so you know, they did ask me to make this clear. any, if you even attempt to make another account, that's going to be automatically suspended. And I'm like, wow. Okay. So I just did not know how to take that. I was like, okay, well, that definitely soured my experience with selling cards. But so now I am, I was exclusively buying for a while, but I got some names together and addresses, and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to make someone's day. And so I like did 10 cards per person, but I don't pull like commons. I literally like have the V cards, the V maxes. I have all the cards that are worth something more than pocket change. I have them all set together. Like some of them are only worth like $2, but some of them might be worth 50. Who knows? And I set them all aside and I shuffle those and I pull 10 each for each of the lucky winners. And I ship them out. I put a letter in them saying, hey, here's my Cash App and my PayPal if you want to donate money so that I can keep doing this. Here's contact info if you want me to take your name out of the lottery or if you want something else. Like, if you have any questions or concerns, and that's it. Like, I don't know if they got them yet. They might have them now because I paid for one day shipping on one. The other person was like so far away that the post office was like, no, we're not doing one day shipping for that. You gotta do 2 day. And I'm like, okay, 2 days, fine. So one of them might have it. So one person might have their cards by now. I'm not sure. But yeah, so that's fun. And I'm doing Twitch streams. I mentioned the Twitch streams on here sometimes. That's rdog20 on twitch.tv. That stuff's fun. I'm slowly building an audience. I've got like 14 followers on Twitch right now. But it's fun because I get to go on there and I just chill. I just play games that I love playing. I've been playing Sifu a lot. I've been playing WWE. I'm trying to get more of Horizon in there. I definitely want to cover Horizon Forbidden West on Gaming Gab at some point because that's a game that both Sicily and I are playing. So that would be a fun game to cover, like just give a whole episode to, just like we did with Zero Dawn. But that game has been fun. I definitely am not charging it as hard as I did Zero Dawn. Zero Dawn I completed in like 5 days. Forbidden West, I'm taking massive breaks in between. But then when I sit down, it's for like 3 to 4 hours at a time, and I just get huge chunks of it done in a time. Like, I think I'm like level 24, and I don't want to give spoilers, but I've already gone through like 2 or 3 massive lore dumps that just change your whole view of the game world. So it's an exciting game. And if you guys want to see me play that and more games, that's again rdog20 on twitch.tv. So that's my side hustles. Yeah, like those are the side hustles I'm actively pursuing alongside the podcast. I'm having tons of fun just sitting down in front of this microphone. I love working out the schedule and trying to figure out when I'm going to record during all this craziness. As long as we're checking in on life, I do want to talk because I did lose someone very recently. I as you guys know, we talk about the cats a lot. Unfortunately, it is cat singular now. Robin is okay. Robin's actually sleeping a few feet away from me. She's gone a lot closer to me now since we lost Jason. Jason's gone, and it still breaks my heart thinking about it. Today, actually, as I'm recording this, they are giving him his private cremation. Like that's what I believe they're doing. I thought they did the cremation already, but they kept referring to Tuesday, and I thought Tuesday was going to be like the day that they put the engraving on his box. It's an urn technically, but it's not like the urn that you normally see, like the Undertaker's urn. It's like a box. So I paid extra for a private cremation, and I'm paying for the engraving. I'm paying for a ink and clay paw print respectively. Well, the ink paw print is free actually, and I believe the first line of the engraving is free, but the second and third line is where the extra comes in. But let me tell you, it like just a sidestepping the trauma of losing a pet that I cared for a great amount, because I've already done enough crying on that. Oh my God, those hospital bills, they don't fuck around with animal hospitals, man. Like, they flat out told me, they're like, yeah, this is gonna cost you, I won't give the exact number, but it was well over $2,000. They were like, it's gonna cost you well over $2,000, and you have to pay it right now. Like, you can apply for a credit card, but like, no matter what, we need that money. Now, I don't know about y'all, but the credit card I had on hand did not have a limit like that. But they were like, we accept Care Credit, which is literally a credit card that is specifically just for animal bills. And I was like, really? Like, so I applied for it thinking there's no way I'm getting approved. And when I got, and when it got approved, I cried tears. I cried tears of joy, but I wasn't very happy at all during this period. And this, mind you, over $2,000 was just for an overnight stay for them to check on him. That's all it was. It was an overnight stay. And they were like, yeah, you need to pay us or we can't keep them overnight. It's just the rules. Like, they weren't trying to be heartless about it. And I didn't take it as that way. I didn't think they were being heartless. I've heard the stories. This is just how the business is. This is just how the business of saving animal lives is. They need the money up front because odds are that... I'm pretty sure it's like odds are if your pet dies, you're not paying them. And even if your pet lives, you're probably still going to walk away not paying them. Like, that's just like bad experiences in the past lead to this. And also just, I think that's how their liability policies are. But I'm not going to pretend I know the business inside and out. But being on this end of it, it really sucked to be told, hey, if you don't pay well over $2,000, then your cat has much less of a chance of living. But I got approved for that Care Credit. I paid it off. And I got a call. First, I had a call at 3 a.m. in the morning, which I missed because I finally managed to pass out. And I thought that was creepy because literally the nurse had mentioned to me, hey, if you want to call us at 3 a.m., like, just in case you're worried, go ahead. And I'm just like, what are the odds that she would say 3 a.m. just to call if I couldn't sleep? And 3 a.m. is literally when the doctor tried calling me. And I immediately was like, yeah, this ain't good. So I texted my boss and said, hey, my cat's in the hospital and I'm expecting a call back. I'm sorry, but I can't go into work. Like, I can't. Even if I was in the office, I would not be there. And she understood. She immediately understood. She was like, I hope your cat feels better. We'll talk about this another day. And we still haven't talked about it, by the way, probably for the best, because I probably would have, just bawled my eyes out in the middle of the office. Okay, but literally, as soon as that conversation ended, the doctor called again, and I picked up. And sure enough, because obviously there's never good news at 3 a.m. Sure enough, they revealed that Jason had cancer, and it was a very aggressive cancer that they normally only see in large dogs. And they flat out told me, they're like, so, and they gave such a quick 1-2 punch that I was so floored. They were like, so the cost of surgery, it could range from like $6,000 to $8,000. And I was gutted because I literally only got approved for the amount that was needed to help pay for the overnight stay. I didn't get approved for anything more than that, let alone that's $8,000 in addition to the over $2,000 that I already paid. So we're talking over $10,000 at that point. And I was like, and in my mind, I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, $2,000, even if I didn't get a proof of the credit, I could have done something. I could have sold all my stocks. I could have taken money out of my savings, but there was no way I could scrounge over $8,000 together. And that's why they made it such a quick 1-2 punch, because I feel like they've had this conversation enough times to know most people don't have that kind of money just laying around. And they made, and they flat out told me, they're like, even if you did have the money, the way this cancer is, it's likely that it's already spread throughout his whole body, and you would only be prolonging the pain at that point. So hearing that, they were like, so the, like, they try not to tell you what to do. They do not tell you what to do, but I did ask for their opinion, and they said that it would be within justifiable reason to put him down. And I feel like I sound emotionally detached from the whole thing. And it's probably because I've literally cried about this for like, I cried about this for like 3 fucking days in a row. I spent the whole day of this moment crying because it was like, yeah, I'll do that. And like, just through my tears, thanking them for helping him. And they told me like, okay, well, come in and we'll give you a chance to, we'll give you your time to say goodbye. I went in and it was just so jarring because he looked fine. Like he, like they, and of course he looked fine because they had him in an oxygen chamber overnight and they pumped him full of drugs. His pupils were so huge and it broke my heart because he wasn't himself because of all the pain meds. And he basically refused to look at me. Like he literally got up on a chair and turned his back to me and just would not look at me. And I hated it. I absolutely hated that the possibility that was going to be the last memory I had of him was that he knew that I was giving up on him and that he just couldn't face me. So I managed to set him down and I read last words to him. I'm not going to read them on here. I posted them to my socials and because I wanted to share my pain, I guess, because I'm that kind of open book of a guy, but I don't feel like reading them on here because I know I'm going to cry again. And when I tell you that was the only time that he actually seemed cognizant of me, because when I was reading those words, he put his head in my hand and looked at me the whole time I read to him. And I finally pressed the button to call the doctor, and they let me hold him when they did it. And I had to say goodbye. And it's just, people without pets, I feel like they wouldn't really know how to take this, how to hear, like, they'll hear me say, oh, I get choked up a bit here, and they'll hear other people who have gone through the same thing or similar things, and how it's like, yeah, I called out work, I held a funeral, I did this, I paid all this money for cremation and all this other stuff, and they'll just think, why? It's just an animal. But they're not just animals. They're our best friends. I literally found Jason. I don't even want to say I found Jason. Jason found me. I walked into that pet shelter every now and then just because. Zero intentions of adopting anyone. I would just get a feeling and I just walk in there. And one day I walked in there and made eye contact with Jason. And Jason didn't leave my side. He, like, there's a cage in between us, obviously. But it's like a free roam cage where there's multiple cats inside of it. And he would walk along the cage, making sure to stay by me. And I just would stop walking. I would just stay there with him and like pet him through the cage. And the people running the shelter there, the volunteers, they kind of broke a little leeway rule, and they let me, because I think the rule was that they couldn't take the cat out of the cage because then like they could possibly imprint on a person, and then if the person didn't take them, it would just make them depressed. So instead of taking him out of the cage, they opened the cage and let me in. And I was just with Jason the whole time, and it was a very happy day because I was so alone at that point. I had no partner. I had no pet. I didn't even have a fish. I was working my dead-end job, like, because this was like 5, 6 years ago, and he was only 5 at the time. That, like, he died at the age of either 10 or 11 because they couldn't give me an actual birth date. They could just tell me what they could just tell me how old he was in years. And I just, losing someone, even if it's an animal, is hard. And I just genuinely, I miss him every day. Like, even when I, like, literally a week from when it happened, I went home, I turned on the TV, and I had pizza in front of me. And it just hit me all at once that watching that same show, eating that exact same pizza, was exactly where I was when I heard him crying out because of how sick he was. He was so sick he couldn't stand up on his own. And he was crying like I've never heard him cry before. And he was breathing heavy, and it was scary. And just remembering, there are times where I'll get flashbacks to that, and mixed in with the sight of him after they gave him his shot. And I literally had to fight breaking into tears at work yesterday because I was getting overwhelmed with it. So I guess I don't know, there's no real moral. I just feel like venting, I guess. Just make sure to hold everyone close. Your pets, your human companions, your partners. Hug your fish tank, and just hold them close. Because you're never going to know, okay? Like, it's cliche, but it's true. You never really know when it's your last day with them. Moving on. I know some people ask me now and then about my being poly. I recently came out to my workmates. It's so nice just thinking, like, I feel like when I always hear people about their coming out story, it's always just one coming out story. Like, they just make one big announcement usually. And it's like, or at least that's how you think it is. Like, some people will be like, yeah, I came out to my parents, and that's their coming out story. Some people are like, I came out at school, and that's their coming out story. In reality, I feel like there is just multiple coming out stories, because the amount of times I've had to come out as polyamorous to people, it's like, it's a similar story, but it's a little different variations every time. And when I came out at work, it was those same words of just, oh, I don't think I could ever do that. Okay, well, I mean, it's not for everyone. Oh, so what do you do? Because there's just that innate curiosity of like, man, what does a polyamorous person do? I mean, it's sort of what it sounds like. I date/hook up with multiple people while still being in a committed relationship. Pretty much. Recently, though, I've spoken with my partner, and she's actually opened up to the idea of, I don't want to say she's that we collectively are open to the idea of having another partner involved, but she's opened up to the idea of me actually going on dates. And I've been open to the idea of her going on dates. She won't say she went on a date because she didn't consider it romantic or at all, but I was like, I feel like I have a better radar of people's intentions. Her radar goes off. I feel like I shouldn't say that. Her radar goes off. She's just less subtle about reading people. Me, if I read someone, I'm like, oh, I think this is what's going on. And she's like, maybe, maybe not. So she's opened up to the idea of me going on actual dates, and I did meet someone recently on Tinder, so there might be a date going on. Who knows? I'm hoping that it will, though, and I'm hoping it's good. Other than that, there is always the hookup culture, and I just want to send a message out to everyone. Most people direct these messages at the youth, but trust me, there's plenty of trouble adults can get into with this kind of thing. Make sure you know who you're hooking up with. Like, how do I say this? I get that there's a sense of danger, like, just meeting someone and just going for it. But, oh my god, the amount of stories I have to hear about how that shit's either gone wrong or almost went wrong. like, oh yeah, I we went out and like I almost went to his place, but then I like my friends took me away, and then I heard he took another girl, and now I don't even know what happened to that girl. Like, I think she went missing afterwards. And I'm just like, okay, so what you're telling me is your friend saved your life that day. Like they just say it so nonchalantly, like, yeah, I almost went to bed with a potential serial killer, but like, whatever. Like, and it's like, no, that's a pretty big story. You can't just throw that out there like an anecdote, like, oh no, whatever, that happened. Yeah, doesn't that happen to everyone? Like, no, that doesn't happen to everyone. So now, and so yeah, definitely be careful of hookup culture and it's all its dangers. Someone else asked me, a lot of people ask me, how does my relationship with my partner work? Because if I'm hooking up with people and I'm potentially going on dates with people, and I'm like, well, for one, we talk. Like, there's just constant communication. There's honesty. Like, well, these are the foundations, people. Like, I've tried before having the relationship where it's like, yeah, you can go be polyamorous, just don't tell me about it. I've tried that. That is awful. Because you feel like you have to tiptoe around the person. It's like, they're like, yeah, you can do it, just don't let me catch you doing it. And it's like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, no wonder people think that I'm cheating. You're literally telling me to cheat on you and just try not to get caught. That's how I feel. There are people, I have had partners that are like, yeah, you can do it, I just don't want details, I don't want to be involved. That's different. But when there's another one that's like, I don't even want to know you're doing it, but like, you can do it, I just want to pretend you're not doing it. It's like, okay, well, then you're just lying to yourself. And you're asking me to continue lying to you, which I don't want to do. And that's how the dishonesty is bred. Because then someday it just leads to the talk of, so I heard you did this with this girl. And it's like, and then I'm just sitting there like, okay, what do you want me to do? Because you told me to not tell you. But now you're coming to me like you're mad. So I feel like I should be honest with you and tell you, yes, that's true, but you also explicitly told me never to tell you. So, like, you gotta help me out here. There is definitely a difference between, like, lying outright and keep respecting boundaries. There are a lot of, like, there are key boundaries that are set in my current relationship that I do respect a great deal. Some of them I've set myself. Like, there's definitely, like, I remember one time when we sat down to be like, okay, so what are the boundaries we want to set? Immediate boundary that I set was that, like, because at the time, I had a bed and she had a bed. Like, well, like, that's like the ultimate goal that we want. We both want bedrooms. Well, that's another conversation, but in a minute. But basically, the rule was, and it seems like it should be a very like simple rule that doesn't need to be said out loud, but the rule was, I don't bang people in your bed, you don't bang people in my bed. And she was like, well, yeah, of course. And you think it would be that simple, but I literally had toxic women who were so disrespectful that would literally not only have sex with people in my bed, but would literally kick me out of my room and make me sleep on the couch so that they could bang people in my bed. And I would literally just take it, because I'm just like, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do? Am I going to, like, fucking scream and start trying to beat the shit out of people? Like, no. Like, I'm not, like, whatever. It's not, to me, it wasn't worth it. It was disrespectful, and I definitely shouldn't have taken it. In hindsight, I probably should have left that person immediately, but no, I didn't want to put up with it. So I was just like, whatever, I'll sleep on the couch tonight, whatever. Again, that I'm doing what my friend did. I'm just throwing a whatever out there. No, it was not a whatever. It was a fucking dick move. Various other boundaries you gotta respect that also could end up saving you a lot of hassle. Like, one boundary that my partner had set for me was, hey, wear a condom. Again, something that should be very simple, but I, like a lot of men, you tend to not like protected sex in that regard. It sounds awful saying that, but it's the honest truth. Like, I am one of the many guys that has the conception that it feels better without a condom. And it's, and like, I feel like it's not true, but at the same time, I'm just like, I don't know, maybe it's just the thrill of it that makes it feel different. Either way, that I cannot tell you how many times that shit's saved me, because like, oh yeah, like I'll sleep with someone and I'll be like, well, I gotta put a condom on. Put the condom on, and like month or so later, I find out the girl's pregnant. Now there's still that fucking blip in my head that's like, oh my fucking god, what happened? What if I'm in that 3% failure rate? Like it's like, okay, like it's not 100% chance it's mine because I wore a condom. But I still, like, I was like, literally the girl reached out to me and was like, I'm pregnant. And I the first thing I said to her, my friend was right there when I got the message. And I can say the friend's name because he's been on the podcast. JP was right there. JP was right there when I got that message. And he was like, and he saw me texting a response. And he was just like, okay, do not word it like that. And right as he said that, I sent it because I was like, it's not mine, is it? he was like, you should not have worded it like that. I'm like, I don't care, dude. There's only one thing I'm caring about right now. Am I a father? Like, and I laughed, though, because the girl was like, no. Like, she's like, dude, like, for one, you had a condom. For two, I had unprotected sex with at least one other person. I don't want to make her sound bad by saying a number that's not true. And I'm not 100% sure of the number, so I'm not going to say it. Rules of respect, people. But anyway, so she was very, like, you know, she was very much like, yeah, no, there's zero chance that it's yours. There's like 0.0000001 chance that it's yours. And I was like, okay, I'm happy with that. To be clear, I've seen the child. It looks nothing like me, so there's like zero doubt in my mind that kid is not mine. Not saying that having a kid would ruin my life, but I'm gonna tell you right now, the fact that I'm currently running like 4 side hustles in addition to a day job should tell you that I am not in a financially stable position, even for myself. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it's stuff like that. Just open, honest communication and respecting each other's boundaries. And that is two of the pillars that kind of keep my relationship in a good space. Gosh, what was that? There was a story recently, and I do want to tell it. Maybe it'll be told down the line, but honestly, I'm involved in it, but it's not my story to tell. It's like a party of like 4 or 5 people, and I somehow popped into the middle of it, and I opened my mouth at one point and just asked a question, and it blew the whole thing open. So, just a tease into the ever expanding drama that I find myself in. But like I'll say in the end, and it all worked out in the end. I'm not gonna say there was a bad ending to it. But I will say it's not my story, per se, to tell. Maybe I'll have the person on and they can tell the story with me popping in on my perspective, but I'm definitely, like, the last person that should tell this story. Current plans for the future. Get a driver's license. That is, like, number one on my list. I get shit on by a lot of people, like, and I say shit on, I get, like, more nagged and harassed by a lot of people. They're like, you gotta get your license, man. You just got to. And I definitely want the license because I always think of the opportunities that I could have if I had it. But at the same time, I'm also like, yeah, well, just so we're clear, everyone, me getting that license is not going to change my life overnight. It's a step. It's one of the first steps I gotta take. I recognize that. But all these people are like, well, if you got your license, you could do this. You could go these places. You could do all this. And I'm like, with what car? With what car? The license, a license does not equal a car magically appearing in my parents' driveway, guys. Like, I hate to tell you, but just because I can does not mean I have the tools necessary. You get what I'm getting at here? Like, still though, getting that license is first on my list. As far as the car goes, I definitely want a Tesla. I want the Tesla for the self-driving function, and I know it's not really self-driving. I'm gonna say that right now, everyone. I know it's not actually self-driving. Hands have to be on the wheel. do not watch Netflix, even though it's so tempting. Like that I'm not putting Netflix on that car until I have kids and then they can watch Netflix while I'm driving. But it's gotta be the most boring Netflix show ever, so I do not listen to it or watch it. Like, good God. And as far as where I want to live in the future, Sicily broke me down. Sicily broke me down. Because I kept saying, like, I want to move south. I want to be, like, in New Orleans, be it for their art and their culture. I want to be in Florida so I could be closer to WWE and AEW. I just wanted to be south. Like, I wanted to be where it was warm. And I also wanted to be where it rained a lot. That was the other thing. I want rain in my life. Get me the fuck away from this snow. I want rain. Sicily's slowly broken me down over time, and it's like, okay, you know what? Maine is nice. She loves Maine. She absolutely loves it. And I've only been there like once, and it was to see Limitless Wrestling, which you can find that episode somewhere in our archives. You can check it out. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, wherever you get your podcasts. And just like the fact, I mean, there's pros for me too. Like, it rain. How often does it rain in Maine? The rain in Maine falls mainly on the plain. Is that how it goes? But she loves it, and there's opportunities for both of us there. There's wrestling companies in Maine. There's theater production companies in Maine. Sicily's already gone in up there too. Like, she's got projects in the works. I've got some projects in the works. My projects aren't in Maine. I'll say that right now. Or I don't think they are. I don't think I ever got an actual location confirmed for some of these projects that I may or may not tell you about in the future. But that, I digress. Right now, I've told her, like, if we get rich, and I say, I always start with if, and then I correct myself, when we get rich. You gotta put that energy in the universe if you want it back. When we get rich, it's going to be a summer home in Maine and a winter home in Louisiana. That's what I want. I would love that shit. Summer home in Maine, winter home in Louisiana, and that would be absolutely brilliant. And then, other than that, it's just working on myself. I do still dream of going to Full Sail University to get a creative writing degree. Because I always have these ideas about writing, and I never, like, I don't have the tools, the mental and learned tools to put to work. Like, I want to learn. I genuinely have a passion to learn how to write, and Full Sail will literally teach you how to write novels, how to write fiction, nonfiction, children's books, comic books, stage, screenplays. Like, they'll do it all. I want to work on that. I want to get back into fighting shape. I like, because I'm checking out all these combat sports. I'm getting more into sports again, and it gives me that fire to want to be better. And I also just want to look better. I mean, who doesn't want to look better? I got a partner, possibly a date, that I would love to show off to. I'd love to actually have my arms back, because I used to actually have muscles in my arms, and I miss that immensely. But, like, initiative. You gotta have initiative, you gotta have the effort, you gotta have the mindset, and I'm slowly rebuilding that over time, because I have been, as discussed, I have been dealt quite a few mental blows over the past year alone. But it's not about what took you down, it's about what you overcame. So you gotta keep putting that out there, you gotta keep the self-love, and that's just what I have to keep reminding myself of. All right, we're gonna hear a word from our sponsor, and then I'm gonna be talking couple of current events, and then I'll answer some of the questions. And we're back. All right, so, man, current events. This is a new thing that I'm doing, and I don't know how I feel about it, because there's some of these current events where I'm just like, what do I care? The first current event that someone brought up was the slap heard around the world, a.k.a. Chris Rock is slapped by Will Smith after a G.I. Jane joke, bro. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this, I guess. There's a lot of different takes people are taking on it. Like, literally, my Facebook became so divided. because there are people that are like, Chris Rock was in the right. He made fun of Jada, and Jada's toxic as fuck. Jada masterminded everything and manipulated Will and emotionally abused him until he broke and assaulted a man on live television. So at that point, they're like, Chris is right, Jada's wrong. There's another viewpoint that's like, you know, all y'all saying Will Smith should be arrested clearly wouldn't stand up for your woman. And they're like, Will Smith did the right thing. Fuck Chris Rock for making fun of a woman who's going through alopecia. And I'm just like, what? Like, huh? And they like, I've literally seen people that are like doing full-blown, like, quote-unquote investigations and being like, Jada's head only looks shaved. It doesn't look like she's balding. And then there are other people that are like, Chris Rock's family's getting ready to put a hit on Will Smith. And it's like, what the fuck am I reading? Like, this is what we're caring about? There was a disagreement, an argument. It turned physical. I'll say Chris Rock handled the aftermath pretty well, because like, that shit could have escalated so bad. Like, Chris could have gone like super pissed and like start throwing fists, and it would have gone down between him and Will Smith. Security would have gone involved. I'm surprised no one kicked Will Smith out, honestly. I mean, they did eventually just kick him out of the Oscars for 10 years after he resigned, but I don't know. It's literally still going. Today I saw a headline that says that Jada followed Will to India when he was trying to get away from her toxicity. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And you read the article, and it even states that they had planned a family vacation, and that supposedly Will was going to go on his own after slap happened for spiritual healing. But Jada was like, no, we're going as a family. Fuck you. Like, and I'm just like, who were they there? Were these reporters there? Like, the way that all this reporting's done, it's all like, yeah, well, they said this behind closed doors. Okay, well, how do you know? Were you behind those closed doors? What's your source? Like, they're not even saying, sources tell me that this happened. Or someone very close to the Smith and Rock families had this to say. They're just like, yeah, this happened. And, like, it's classic dirt sheet. You're just, like, the fucking people are reading it and they're just running with it. They're like, well, this is clearly factual because I read it. And it's like, what the fuck? I will say, it's hard to say I have personal feelings about Jada because I don't know her. I've never met her in person. But yeah, I found the Red Table Talk episode on polyamory to be very interesting. Like, that really grabbed my attention because it was like a separate Red Table Talk that Willow, Jada, and I forget the third party's name. I think it was Jada's mom / Willow's grandmother. But basically, Willow came out as being polyamorous to Jada. I think she had already come out as being bisexual. And she was like, yeah, like, in my ideal relationship, I would have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. And, like, the mom was just so taken aback. I remember Jada being taken aback. And then so many people caught on to that clip that they decided to have a Red Table Talk about polyamory. And that was, like, the first and so far only episode that I've watched in full. Like, every other episode of that show I've watched has been just clips. And I remember being taken, like, Jada basically was by default the neutral party because the grandmother was very much against it. She was like, I think all these kids doing polyamory are just in it for the sex. And, like, Willow was very poised and was like, yeah, that's a common misconception. And then she was like, I mean, out of all my friends, me and my friends, with Willow being the only polyamorous person in her friend group, she admitted that she was actually having less sex than all of her other friends who were monogamous. So I love how I started with a slap and I'm on Red Table Talk because that's how little I cared about the talk. But oh my God, how little I cared about the slap, I mean. But just the fact a lot of people are saying the toxicity is because Jada was being a bit of a hypocrite. Jada's basically says that they're in an open marriage, but like it's very one-sided from what I'm gathering, from what I've, again, this is just from dirt sheets that I've read that have no merit. So I'm grasping at straws as I'm trying to come up with an actual opinion on something I don't super care about that much. I cared about the polyamory. That's why I had a bit to say about that. But like literally this, it's if the dirt sheets are to be believed, or at least some of them, because I know some of them are also against Will on this, but a good number of the dirt sheets that are being shared on my Facebook are about how Jada is toxic and is cheating on Will under the guise of a one-sided open marriage. And I'm just like, what the fuck's going on? Like, what's happening here? I mean, if it's true, then yeah, fuck Jada. That's terrible. Especially when you're then going to turn around and be like, I don't understand why my daughter wants to be polyamorous and have open and honest relationships with more than one person. Why can't she just cheat on someone? Like, but again, that's if, that's if. That's if these stories are true. I know, not a hot take. Playing it very safe, but let's just move on to the next one. Elon Musk buys Twitter. Elon Musk has paid, and this number's been disputed, I'm going to go with the neutral number, $44 billion to officially own Twitter. So the reports are saying he's taking it private, or he's going to take it private. He's in the midst of it. And I'm just like, what happens next? What is going to change, if anything? Is he going to be like, from what I understand, he wants to get rid of the censors on Twitter. From what I understand, he wants to unban people from Twitter. He doesn't want anyone banned, which the news outlets immediately picked up that former president of the United States, Donald Trump, is banned. He's been banned since the January 6th insurrection. Is that what they called it? The January 6th Capitol riots? Like, he's been banned since then because he... How do I keep my own political leaning out of this? Yeah, so, like... I don't give a fuck anymore. It's my show. He basically started the riot. Like, he from what I understand, he went out, he had, like, a whole, like, rally, and literally, and I don't know if he meant to the crowd to take it literally, or if he was trying to use rhetoric and metaphors to rile them up, but, like, he normally does, but, like, supposedly he was, like, we should storm the doors and stop them from counting those votes. And I get the people to either he meant it and they understood, or he did not mean it that way and they took it literally. And they like proceeded to literally, by definition, commit treason. And like that's what the majority of them were charged with, was treason. Because yeah, you literally attacked a Capitol building of America. That is literally an act of terrorism and treason, since you are also an American citizen attacking that Capitol building. I got to see so many people lose their jobs over that shit. But anyway, I'm jumping topics again. Basically, ever since Trump's been banned from Twitter ever since then. So now Elon Musk has bought Twitter, and he's never outright said that he's going to let Trump back on Twitter, but he is like the ultimate, what's the word? I'm failing to gain vocabulary right now. He's like the ultimate advocate for freedom of speech. He fully believes that you should be, that on a platform like Twitter, anyone should be able to say what they want on there. And I mean, Twitter, the people who owned Twitter before, they had their rights. It's their platform. They own it. They were allowed to do what they wanted with it. And if they wanted to have censors on there, they could. But now Elon Musk has it. So now Elon Musk can be like, fuck censors. We're going to let people say whatever the fuck they think. And so now the current speculation is that he's going to be getting rid of the bans. And he's going to let everyone back on Twitter. I don't know who else has been banned from Twitter. I haven't been banned from Twitter, so I don't know. Clearly, their censors aren't as hardcore as eBay's, but... So, I just want to know, what the fuck was Twitter worth? Like, I'm going to try and look that up right now. How much is Twitter worth? Is there even a number? Well, it's giving me stock. How much is Twitter worth? Twitter's net worth is $13.316 billion as of February 22nd of 2022. And he paid $44 billion. He paid over double, almost triple what it was estimated to be worth at. I feel like there's no way that Musk is getting a profit out of this. Unless he's going to turn around and be like, hey, you want to keep your Twitter account? Fucking pay me. That would piss a lot of people off. Because there are whole celebrities that literally talk to their people through Twitter. I'm trying to get my Twitter following up. That's at Clark Dion, capital C, capital D. But just imagining that, it's like, what could he do to turn a profit? What is he going to do to change the site as a whole? This dude's the owner of Tesla. He's the owner of Space Force. Like, what is this guy going to do? He has so much money, he could literally just do whatever the fuck he wants. He was like, oh, Twitter? Yeah, I could own that. Fuck it, I own it now. Like, that's literally what just happened here. In a matter of days or weeks, or who knows, I mean, maybe there was shit going on behind closed doors, but this dude fucking owns Twitter now. And I am both frightened and intrigued. So I guess we'll see where this is gonna go. Third piece of current events, Tyson Fury retiring. I did get the honor to watch this fight. I paid $70 to watch it on pay-per-view, specifically because I heard that it was going to be his last fight. And he did say that he promised his wife Paris. Tyson Fury said he promised his wife Paris that he was going to retire after the trilogy fight with Deontay Wilder. Well, now he says, hey, I did this for my people in London. I wanted to give them a big show, but I gotta be a man of my word now and retire, so this is probably it. Like, there are reporters that are like, well, what about the unification fight? He's like, I already held those titles. Well, what about your legacy? He's like, I've already cemented it. What about, and he's like, listen, I've done it all. Like, there's no reason for me to stay. I've already made so much money. And he has. This fucker made almost like 30, I think he made, yeah, since he won, he made over $30 million from this one fight alone. What the hell would I do if I had $30 million? Like, is that retirement money? I don't think so at my age. I mean, if I was like 60, I think that's retirement money. I don't know. What is retirement? What's the average retirement money of an American citizen? Let's see. What is the average retire? This is what I do when I'm left to my own devices here. Money of the U.S. citizen. According to the survey by the Trans American Center for Retirement Studies, the median retirement savings by age in the U.S. is, so, okay, well, hold on. This goes a while. Americans in their 60s, $172,000. Okay. So 172 grand. Okay, so yeah, $30 million, that's definitely retirement money. Tyson Fury could live off of that just fine. Him and his family. Hell, his kids could go through all adulthood with that money. So even their kids could go. Well, also, I have to remember they're British. So I did for American citizens, but they're British, so I don't know how that translates to pounds. Either way, like, he's made so enough money for generations to thrive. Like, that's something everyone dreams of. So if this really is it for Tyson Fury, amen to the guy. He did fucking fantastic in that fight. Uppercut, there is some controversy over the shove. Shoving in boxing is illegal. So, I mean, I don't think it's getting overturned at all. Like, I doubt that shit's gonna happen. He's probably gonna, like, he's gonna go down in history. Apologies to headphone listeners. I really needed that water. All right, so now we are moving on to questions. Got four questions I pulled. Okay, let's see what we got. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? All right, so 5 years from now is 2027. Oh, gosh, 2027. 5 years from now, definitely not living here. Definitely not living in my parents' house, no. 5 years from now, I'd like to think, let's see, a bachelor's degree for creative writing at Full Sail because they don't stop. Full Sail doesn't take breaks. So to get your bachelor's degree there is like 2.5 years. So 5 years from now, I'd like to say that I at least started the process because it's a lot of money that I got to save up. And considering that that's not the first thing on my immediate list, I mean, priorities can change over time, but right now my priority is the license and the car. So 5 years from now, I got that Tesla. Fuck all you. I got that fucking Tesla finally. 5 years from now, Cicely and I are living in Maine. I'm taking that Tesla on the road to wrestling shows where I'm working either as a ring announcer or as a jobber. I don't know where I'll be in 5 years, man, but that dream scenario, Cicely and I have our home. I started my education. I'm actually making a living off of what I love instead of just bouncing from job to job. That's where I'd like to be in 5 years. Are there any writing projects I'd like to share? Okay. Are there any writing projects I'd like to share? I have commented before that as far not nonfiction goes, I would love to write memoirs. And I would want the memoirs to be themed around how women have impacted me in my life. Because looking back in my life, like I always talked about how I wanted my wrestling character to be the ladies' man. And like I just feel like women have done more to open my eyes in my life. They've been more active role models in my life. That nothing against my father. My father's a very positive role model. Just other than him, there haven't been that many positive male role models in my life. So, like, I've had at my shitty ass prior day job, I had one woman there who. She was basically another mom to me. I had a drama teacher all throughout school who taught me a lot of good life lessons and work ethic. I've had past girlfriends that taught me a lot about what it means to actually be a good partner. Like, and if I had listened to them, I probably, at the time, I would have been a much better partner to them. But alas, that's what life is. It's making mistakes and learning and saying, I guess I'll have to do better next time. So yeah, I would like to write memoirs of my own personal experiences and how all these experiences with all these different women impacted me and made me into the man I am today. So that's one writing project that I'm happy to share. I haven't written anything down. It's literally just in my head, but I mean, it's memoirs, so it's not like I'm going to run out of ideas anytime soon. What star sign am I? Okay, star sign. I'm assuming we're going by the Western star signs. I am a Virgo. Matter of fact, hold on a second here. I have that app. What is it? Is it CoStar that people go by? Let's see, CoStar. Oh man, apparently CoStar signed me out. So what did I do? Did I do my phone number? Next. Password. I have no idea what my fucking password was. Welcome back. Oh, nope. Yeah. That's not it. Sign in with Apple. This is lovely. This is lovely content that I'm putting in here, isn't it? Nope, it's just bringing me a sign up. So I forget then. I know my sun sign's Virgo. I used to know all my signs. I think sun sign Virgo, moon sign was something else, and rising sign was Virgo. I think moon sign might have been Sagittarius. I think that was what it was. God help me, do not ask me what my Mercury, Venus, and Mars, or what houses any of these are in. I used to know all that, but not anymore, apparently. So, yeah, so I am a Virgo. I feel like that's a very one-sided answer. I don't know. Can I get a horoscope for my Virgos out there? Let's see. Daily horoscope. Free daily horoscope for today. Blah, blah, blah. Virgo. Read more. And obviously this isn't going to be for this isn't going to be for the day of the podcast recording, but I digress. Today is full of possibilities, Virgo. You could fall in love at first sight, or at least meet someone who captures your interest. You should be feeling especially loving, passionate, and eager to devote yourself to a worthy cause or creative activity. Don't expect everything to fall into place right away. You could hit a few obstacles, but the ultimate result will be worth the bumps along the way. It's complicated, but it doesn't have to be. Oh wait, that last sentence was the beginning of an ad. Either way. Alright, so... Man, they got a horoscope for everything. They got what to watch, retail. I'm sorry, what? This is horoscope.com. I want to point that out. What to watch, Freaky on HBO Max. Really? They literally give you examples of what to watch as a Virgo. I gotta read this shit. Virgo, as a sign that is way into your own head and known for its methodology, things like murder and phenomenon cross your mind silently. Why you gotta call me out like that? The movie Freaky is perfect for you because it is about a bullied 17-year-old named Millie who somehow ends up switching bodies with a crazy serial killer known as the Butcher. Oh my god, I remember hearing about this. I never saw this movie. Millie only has 24 hours to get her identity back and make sure she does not let the Butcher kill anyone in her body. And then there's a bonus pick. You are very proud of your hard work. You are so careful to make sure everything you do is perfect with the intention of expansion and more success. And a small town of Pahrump, Nevada, a small privately owned TV station called KPVM is documented for 6 episodes. Each episode of Small Town News gives a look into the lives of the people in front and behind the camera. The hope is that one day be able to expand into Las Vegas as a bigger network. It doesn't tell me where that is. I don't know. Maybe it's also HBO Max. And that's weekly, by the way. Okay. Wow. I was not expecting that. That's pretty cool. All right, okay. So that, I guess for all the Virgos out there, watch the movie Freaky on HBO Max. I don't have HBO Max anymore. I recently dropped that from my subscription list. So I don't know. I hope that was educational for everyone. Last question, because I am desperately needing more water. If I could start a business tomorrow, what would it be? Oof. Tomorrow. Jesus, tomorrow. I don't know if this is a business per se, but I'd like to get a studio. I mean, it's my business, so I guess. I'd like to get a studio. I would love to get a studio where you could, like there would be a stage where you could do plays. There would be, like, a sound booth where you could, like, if the sound booth would be soundproof. And you could record. Whether you record music or you record the podcast there. And of course, you gotta have a gaming room. You gotta have a gaming room somewhere in there so that we can record for Twitch. You can stream for Twitch. Cicely could record her YouTube videos in there again, and it would just be fun. And it would be we can make money doing it, whether it be from Twitch, from Anchor, from advertisers. It would just be so much fun, and I would love that. And that's just the ultimate goal. So that would be what I would do if I could start a business tomorrow. I know that was a very short answer, but like I said, I am surviving off of my own saliva right now. So with that lovely tidbit, thanks for listening to me, guys. I genuinely did not think that I was going to be able to talk for so long without having an actual, like, a super clear idea of what I was going to talk about. Thank you for all of your support. I enjoy hearing from every single one of you, and hopefully we'll have more to say on projects coming soon. Until then, the month of May is big. We got a whopping 6 episodes, including this one, planned. So stay tuned and check out the socials, because I'm sure I'll be posting or have already posted the schedule for the podcast somewhere in there. Much love to everyone, and enjoy the rest of your day.